He travels throughout North America conducting speeches and workshops on social issues facing Muslim youth today. And in the light of Islam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, he's an active scholar in both religious and political activity and a great supporter of peace and justice. He raises his voice in support of the oppressed people of the world and condemns the tyrants in those places. Please welcome Mawlana Sayyid Hassan Mujtaba Rizvi with a loud salawat.
Salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. On this auspicious occasion of the birthday of Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha, I'd like to send our salutations and congrats to the 12th Imam and to all of the Aimma Alayhimus Salam and to those companions of Aimma Alayhimus Salam and the Holy Prophet who participated in bringing about the message of justice and peace and equality to the rest of the world. The time for speeches are done. The time for coming up and narrating history is done. The time for mentioning the achievements of the great leaders and personalities in Islam is done. We all are aware of the things that happen in history. We are all aware of the achievements that were done. The time for action is now. The time to speak is not now. It is to know what you know and to implement in your lives. The conference that we're attending, I believe the title is or was, as I think it will finish by the time I finish, the title was The Role of Women in Bringing About Justice and Peace in the World. Woman in itself is an entity or a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can bring about justice and peace in the house. If she can bring justice and peace in the house and every house has justice and peace, then automatically the whole world will be filled with justice and peace. You see, what you see right now are symptoms of the system that is implemented around the world. The system is based on liberty, justice, and freedom for a few, and oppression and tyranny for the rest of the world. The symptoms that you see in Iraq, or the symptoms that you see in Palestine, or the symptoms that you see in Pakistan, or in Afghanistan, or the people coming out in tents and having tent cities in so-called superpower of the world. The symptoms that you see in our household of our generations being lost. The symptoms that you see in our communities where disunity exists. The systems that you see all around the world is actually not the cause. If we're going to remove those systems, we first have to remove the cause. And this is a thing that I think we need to understand, is that we're very much worried about the symptoms, but we're not worried about the system. That we see the oppression around the world, we see the symptoms of the system, and we get so much tangled into the symptoms that we forget about what the system is. In order for us to be able to have this justice and peace to become global, we need to look into the system that exists. If we're going to consider the system to be okay and then just deal with the system, the symptoms that are around the world, this is not going to happen. You have oppression in Iraq right now. If that oppression finishes, you will see this again, the same oppression in another country. You see the oppression in Afghanistan, if that finishes, you will see it in another country. Like the symptoms is not going to go away until the cancer is removed. Until that system, which has actually become a cancer for this world, until that is removed, these things are not going to go away. And our thinking has become more focused towards those symptoms rather than the system. We become part of the system. After becoming part of the system, we're looking for democracy for our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world. What we have to see is that, is this democracy which is under the boundaries of Islam, or is it a democracy in the bounds of the same system that exists? If it is under the bounds of the same system that it exists, this democracy is not going to bring justice and peace in that country. If we're going to talk about our rights, and we're not going to change in the system which is actually not going to give our rights, we are not going to receive our rights. And this change actually can be brought in the minds of our next generation, because we ourselves are so much involved into it that this is not going to happen. So the role that the woman can play as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter, as a mother, is that she can instill in the minds of the next generation this ideology and philosophy that we are not going to be concerned about the symptoms, but we're going to be concerned about the system. That the mothers can remove fear, greed, and selfishness from the hearts of the children on which this system is based. If our children are growing up with fear, greed, and selfishness, they are going to grow up and become part of the same system that is bringing out all of this tyranny and oppression. By having our kids not, for example, look at the movies or the TV or getting them into Islamic schools and so forth, trying to protect them from the outside environment and the fire that is there, thinking that they will grow up to be the ones who can help bring justice and peace, we need to think of that again. Until and unless they are changed in the sense, in their thinking, in their way of perception, that the reason why these things exist is because of the system that exists. And that way of thinking can be brought by the mothers that are here. I'm not here to speak, I'm here to make a request to you. The mothers are the one who have this responsibility. Bibi Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was against the system of oppression that was implemented after the death of the Prophet. She fought against the system, not against personalities. Because she knew if the system can be changed, and that system can come which was ordained and designed by the Creator, then automatically justice and peace can come about in the society, community, country, and the world. We consider that our efforts in the household is not going to affect the world. No, it will. We are all intertwined. We are linked with each other. My actions are linked with your actions, and your actions are linked with so many other people. If you've seen a cotton cloth, the cotton cloth has weaves. It has, you know, strings that are interwoven, and all the strings are connected to each other, and then they make the cloth. If we consider ourselves to be separate, this is not going to happen. We're not looking for part-time mothers. We're looking for full-time mothers. Imam Zaman is looking for full-time mothers, not part-time. Islam does not condone, it does not say that you cannot work. Islam says you work. As a woman, you work. But you have two choices. You can work at home or you can work outside. The general point of view that is given to us is that Islam tells women not to work. But in actuality, Islam tells the woman to work. Either she can work in the house or she can work outside of the house. But if her working outside of the house is going to be an oppression to the kids that are responsibility of the parents to raise, that responsibility supersedes bringing $10,000-$15,000 extra into the household income. Then if the average income of a household is $40,000-$50,000 by which they can, you know, live a comfortable life, and that if my sister has to go out and work and then pay for the babysitting and so forth and then have $10,000-$15,000 increase in their income, but then the cost of that is that our kids are being raised by internet, by TV, by babysitters, by the system. They're not being raised by us. And if they're raised by the same system, they are going to become part of the system and they're not going to be able to bring justice and peace in the world or in their household or in the community. And we're paying the price. The responsibility of bringing the money into the household is the responsibility of the man. If we need more money to survive in the hard times that we're living in, then the man should go and upgrade their education or skills and have that $10 to $15 raised or change a job. But not to do it on the expense of our young minds and souls. Even if you got a career and you are able to tell others that how intelligent and how, you know, progressive you are and how Islam is giving you the freedom to be able to come into any industry and work and to get to the peak of it, but we lose out our generation, what is that credential and this praise good for? Is that praise going to be really the praise of Islam and the liberty and freedom of women's rights in Islam? What is it going to be for our future generations that are going to come, that are going to face the same problems as the ones that faced in the past? So my sisters would have to define what their role is. Their roles can only be defined if they understand that they have the responsibility to instill into the minds of their kids that there should be a new, well, this phrase has been some sort of copyrighted by the father of Bush, but I'll still use it. The mothers would have to tell the kids that we need a new world order. This world order that exists is not going to be able to bring justice and peace in the world. That there is a new, when I'm saying new world order, your minds are going towards so many other things. But in actuality, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. That promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about a system which is going to come and overpower all the other systems. Even if the polytheists do not like this fact. If you want the oppression to finish in Palestine, if you want the oppression to finish in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in our households, in our communities, in the rest of the world, a new system needs to be implemented. And you think that your efforts, if you were to put that, instill it into the minds of our young brothers and sisters, is not going to bear fruit? It's not, this is not the right way to think. Our sisters mentioned about Bibi Zainab salamu alayha, how she stood up against the tyrants of the time at a time when she was in shackles, at the time when she was mentally, spiritually, emotionally tortured, at the time when she had seen all the atrocities in Karbala, at the time when her hijab was not on her head, at the time when she was brought in as slave, she stood up and she spoke against the system, and she made that effort which after so many years we're able to speak about it. That 400 million people around the world will speak about it till the end of time. That was the effort of one woman. If you can speak about Bibi Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how she stood up against the oppressors and the tyrants of the ones that were implementing that system, that was one woman. Today the world is talking about it. Do not want results, do not expect results in your lifetime. Do not expect results in your lifetime, but do your responsibility as much as you can, and you will see after 1,000 years, after 1,500 years, after 500 years, after 10,000 years, your efforts will bring about a massive change. But your responsibility cannot be accomplished by being part-time mother. You would have to seriously decide whether it is the materialistic things that we can provide to our kids that they ask for, the PS3 and the Xbox 360, and actually I'm holding one as well, which your kids might want afterwards. But is it that which is going to be more important, or is it going to be me as a full-time mother to stay at home and to make sure that my kids are going to grow up knowing what the right system is, knowing what are going to be the after effects of the right system, and also knowing what the wrong system is, and knowing what the symptoms of the wrong system is? Do you think that can be accomplished by 1 hour, 2 hours in a day that you give to your kids? It cannot be possible. It is not possible, and it will not happen. Being a mother is a full-time job. Being a father is a part-time job. If being a mother is a part-time job and being a father is a part-time job, then is the kids that we have, for them to be sons and daughters, also maybe part-time? Part of the time they are your daughter and son. Part of the time they're the daughters and the sons of the media, of the TV, of the movies, of the internet, of Facebook. All of our family has to be full time. Being a father is not a part time job. It is a full time job. Being a mother is a full time job. Being a daughter and the son is a full time job. The one who's going to bring about the justice and the peace in the world is asking this from you. This is not my request. This request I'm making on behalf of the Imam of the time. His coming is not going to be hastened by our kids becoming part of the same system that is existing right now. His coming is going to get hastened by us working on our new generation and instilling inside of them of the system that he's going to bring, and for them to become part of that system. Becoming part of that system is one thing that you have to understand, is that in our time we have a leadership system in place. Right now we have a leadership system in place, and that system which he is going to bring about for the rest of the world is being implemented to the best of the ability of human beings. Have your kids look towards that system and that leadership. If your kids can look towards that system and leadership, you will see that they will have a role model of a system and of a person of leadership. And they can be trained that way. So inshallah, my request is done. For the last 1200 years, Imam is waiting for our mothers to produce someone, raise someone like Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. And one of the mothers, one of our mothers did raise one. And that one brought about that system in one country, which is a promise of Allah. And because of that promise being fulfilled in one country, in the last 32 years, you see that this light has shone and it is bright, and its brightness is increasing all around the world and decreasing the darkness that is there. Imagine of all the mothers that are here, if you can raise one more. If you can raise one more, imagine what that one more can do. Inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with out of His mercy that He has and the beneficence that He has and the hearts that He can see inside of ours, of the dreams and hopes and the fears that we have, that He will make us the true followers and the friends of Bibi Fatima Zahra salamun alayha. That He will give us the same, if not the same, a little bit of that strength and the conviction that Bibi Fatima Zahra salamun alayha had to be able to stand up against the system of tyranny. Our mothers will become those who will produce and raise the soldiers of the 12th Imam, who will not become part of the system but will be part of another system, which is the system of Allah, and that promise will come to pass. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our maraji. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have their guidance to come to us with ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the revolution of Iran, which has brought up light in the darkness of the days that we live in, and that this revolution is going to be connected to the greater revolution that is about to come in the rest of the world, the revolution of the 12th Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our leader, the leader of Muslim Ummah, whether the Muslim Ummah accepts him or not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Imam Khamenei. May he be blessed with a long life and that we are guided towards the right path. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.